Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we always try to get Carver High involved in everything. If, you know, there's a road trip, Vegas, wherever, if we can get Carver High involved, it's more fun. And so the one thing I've yet to do with Carver High is take him to Del Mar for the surf and turf afternoon of cocktails and lobster and horse racing. And I mean, I got to say, my buddy Tony Hawk owns a restaurant, or he did for the longest time, like a mile from that racetrack. And I've been down there to party, too. Like, I mean, they had to wheel me out of there. All I know is Carver High, it is the coolest spot anywhere. I mean, it is like, you know, they talk about all this other stuff, like Saratoga and everything. And all those are top shelf. But my man over here, Del Mar, the king of beers. I mean, the king of beers is Del Mar. It is the coolest place to go watch horse racing, in my opinion, of anywhere. And that includes Churchill Downs, that in Gulfstream, the Preakness, the Belmont. It doesn't matter where you're talking about. Pimlico. I don't care where it is. Del Mar's cooler. Del Mar's the coolest thing. And, oh, my God, the women. Are we on the air? The women? Don't talk about
yes.
The women.
Yeah,
don't just change subjects. All right. Apparently, I've gone too far once again.
That has happened to you in the past. You have gone too far. That's for sure. They're almost done, by the way, over at Royal Troon. Now, yesterday, I mean, they let me see every shot all the way to the end with right. These guys in the dark on 18. And for some reason, right. I got two or three threesomes. Course, and they've shut me down here. Even the Peacock feed ended at 4 o'clock east. So I was hoping to watch this guy MK Kim lose me a couple of bucks when he doesn't finish in the top 10 after round two. But I guess I'm not going to get to do that here. Only 10 guys under par heading into round number three tomorrow. Only 12 guys even or better.
Just the way it should be
heading into
this is a real major. This is a real major, and all the other ones are phony.
I don't disagree with that. You are getting the true test of open conditions
you
here
see,
this weekend.
Wait, now time out. I got five left. I mean, just tell people how many guys that are legendary golfers, badass golfers, the best golfers in the world, crucified by Troon. All going home.
Well,
crucified. You name them. This
I will
is
tell
one
you.
After the next.
Here's who's, if you want a really fast rundown of who's not going to be playing this weekend.
I do.
At Royal Troon. Here we go. Keegan Bradley, Will Zalatoris, Louis Oosthuizen, Tyrrell Hatton. Who else do we got? Tommy Fleetwood, Bryson DeChambeau. You are not going to have Victor Hovland, Tony Finau, Tom
Rory.
Kim, Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith. Those are probably Tiger Woods, Heath Tagala, Wyndham Clark. All those names will not be there this weekend. Those guys have all missed the cut.
That is the true test of golf is, you know, and my favorite part of it is watching them do interviews and they're like, yeah, I've never really been effective in these kind of crosswinds.
Yeah. That's here, the crosswinds. That's what everybody. Meanwhile, you know, Lowry said something interesting I think it was after yesterday's round. When talking about the wins, you know, he didn't play in that Scottish Open last week. He didn't play the week before that. He said he played a couple of practice rounds at Royal Troon instead of playing the Scottish. And he said he felt like he got a feel for every type of win combination that would be out there. Whereas a lot of these guys obviously played at the Renaissance last week. They played in the Scottish Right. Open and didn't get maybe those couple. You know, all they did was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with those practice rounds to try to get a feel for the weather, and that doesn't happen. I'll start the baseball with this. There is an afternoon game to start our second half, and the Diamondbacks now lead the Cubbies 5-0, bottom of the sixth, at Wrigley, the businessman special, on a Friday afternoon.
I need 3 runs.
Well, let's get some more then. Let's keep working out there, that's for sure. All right, I have a big slate tonight, but I have a few things we're going to get to first. Number one, the Reds signed the number 2 overall pick, Chase Burns, from Wake Forest, pitcher. $9.25 million signing bonus, which actually broke the record signing bonus that the Pirates gave Skeens last year. I'll ask you this, Scotty. Do you think that Chase Burns will start the All-Star game next year, since Skeens started it this year? No.
No, but it makes sense to me that he got more money. I mean, that's the way the cookie crumbles year to year. I mean, what is this, some kind of revelation that a guy a year later makes more money? It happens every single year. The next year's number one will make more money. And then, you know, you see it every day in sports. It's really next guy up mentality when it comes to money. You're going to see what happens every time there's a quarterback up. You're going to see Love. He's going to make more money than everybody. That's what's happening now in sports. This is no surprise to me that they gave Burns all that money. What is reality, though, is that Skeens is kicking ass and taking names.
He is doing that. There's no question about that. Did you see that the board down in St. Petersburg approved that new stadium for the Rays? History has been made. City council members approved the stadium by a 5-3 vote, guaranteeing that the team stays there. It's going to be, Scotty, actually like the smallest stadium in the majors. I think they're only going to have like 30,000 seats in it, which is understandable. They can barely get 10,000 people in the Trop as it is. But a new stadium for the Rays coming in St. Petersburg. How about that?
Well, I think it's important for the community, to be honest with you, because really, what do they have? They have the Bucks, they have the Lightning, and they have Major League Baseball. And that's all you really need. It's a lot like Pittsburgh, right? They have the NHL instead of the NBA, and then they have baseball, and they have football. So it's one of those markets, right? And you said it best. They're going to build a small stadium because they ought to. I mean, they don't draw in the one that they have, and the one that they have is a you know, it's like a mausoleum. It's so awful. What an awful baseball stadium that is. I don't care what anybody says. Any ballpark in the majors where guys hit pop-ups and they get caught up in the rafters clanking around, it was just a bad idea to begin with. They need to build a real baseball stadium, frankly, like Miami did. Miami built one. It's fantastic. Nobody goes unless they have the WBC there, but it is a really nice stadium.
It certainly is, that's for sure. All right, I wanted to do this as well. A few teams have got some new items on the menu heading into the second half, and I know you always want to find out about new menu items across the country.
I do.
First, we'll have a little dinner in Kansas City. The Taste of the K Taco. Hot dog wrapped in cheeseburger quesadilla with barbecue brisket, french fries, lettuce, onions, sriracha, cracker jacks, and some 816 sauce. Look at that taco for you, Scotty. Wow, I mean, Taste of the
that
K.
Is like, that is like the Pittsburgh, my favorite place in Pittsburgh, right, with the sandwiches.
The Permanti Brothers.
That's like a Permanti Brothers taco in Kansas City, of all places. That is fantastic. Now, what about this next one? This next one out in Rado takes the cake.
Now, you wash it down with a little ice cream pasta. That's right, the polar pasta. Looks like spaghetti and meatballs, but actually vanilla ice cream and donut holes with the strawberry syrup. How about that for you?
Pasta. That is just a strong effort right there out at Coors. Always thinking ahead and in the thin air. We love food on C2C.
Only 5 more Summer Coast to Coast Fridays until football. Only 5 more Summer Coast to Coast Fridays until football season.
I'm still having fun right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Still 9-1.
All right, Carver High, let's look at all the odds for these baseball divisions as we start up the second half. We got the game going on at Wrigley, and then tonight everything else under the lights.
You did get another run in Wrigley, by the way, on a Morel RBI single. So 5-1, bottom six, and the Cubbies have a couple guys on. So we'll see if they can get you a few more
runs
there. All right. Two runs you need. All right, let's do this quick because I want to get to tonight's games, but I figured second half starts tonight. Let's see where we are. American League East, the Yankees, of course, are still right there at the top. They're one game back of Baltimore going in, and they're the favorite. They're minus 115. Baltimore's plus 105. The Red Sox are only 4.5 back, and they're 30-1 to win the AL East.
God, how do you not, and I just hate him so much. I can't even, God forbid that I say this right now. Hold on, Carver High. I got to do some Hail Mary. Listen, 30-1 for the Red Sox to win the East. Christ, I'd root for him just to get me the ticket to cash. If I got 30-1, like, that's a Carver High golf ticket at 30-1. And they're 4.5 out. That's nothing. Why not bet that? And I'm going to bet on the Orioles at plus 105. I'm going to bet on both of those teams. And obviously, I'll still root for the Yankees, but they'll screw it up.
Fade the Yankees, indeed. The Guardians are in the lead in the Central starting the second half. Minnesota is 4.5 games back. And right now, the Guardians are the favorites, as we will see on the board right here. The Guardians are favorite. Minnesota is plus 165. Royals are at 10-1, so the Guardians minus $1.65 as well with a 4.5 game lead.
I got to tell you, I mean, I've been impressed with Cleveland completely and kind of shocked at the same time, and they haven't had any rough patches. I haven't seen them struggle at all this year, not once. So I think they're going to have a struggle. There's always a struggle within, right, Metallica style? Give me the Twins at plus $1.65 to catch them.
In the West, Seattle does have the lead right now on the division going in, and they're minus 110 on the odds board. Houston's only a game back, and they're plus 110. Rangers are 5 back, and they're 8-1.
I mean, this is, to me, easy money with the Astros. I think they're going to pass the Mariners and win that division. Not only will they do it, I think they'll do it going away.
On the NL side, the Phillies have a nice, fat 8.5 game lead to start the second half, and they're minus 600. The Braves are plus 470.
I just don't think they're going to blow that division. I think they're too good. To me, day to day, they're too good. Too good at pitching, too good at hitting. Honestly, that's a feared lineup. That's all I know. And if they're healthy, they're not blowing that.
Minnesota also has a four, Milwaukee has a 4.5 game lead in the Central on the National League side, and the Brewers are -3 Bills. Cardinals are plus 450. The Pirates are 18-1, and they are 6.5 back.
I don't believe the Pirates can win the division. I think their only hope is a wild card, which they are legitimately involved in, a game and a half out as they start the second half. But I'll take that price on the Cardinals. The Cardinals know how to get to the postseason and win divisions and go to the playoffs. I'll take them.
And finally, the Dodgers have a 7-game lead in the NL West, and they have a minus 3,000 odds board lead in the NL West. They're going to win the division. That's how it goes.
That's a highly unfortunate, actually.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the Dodgers are going to win the division, so that's not at this point.
As you know, I would rather see the Padres or Diamondbacks both catch them because the Padres, I love San Diego. I love soft serve ice cream. I love Petco Park. And I think the Diamondbacks are going to be a really fun team to watch in the second half. They're winning today. And they've been winning a lot lately, and they own the Dodgers. They are in the Dodgers' heads, and so is Christian Walker. Just remember, Carver High only made you about 10 grand on Christian Walker home runs in a span of 3 days. 10 grand he made you, the audience, the civility, the citizenry, all of it. Carver High, just gratis. He just gives it out like taters, just giving it out. He's constantly helping the community.
Trying to do that. We have a lot of games tonight as everyone's back in the mix. Of course, we do have that afternoon game, which is 5-1, going to the seventh between the Diamondbacks and the Cubs. The Pirates will come back from the All-Star break at home at PNC against the Phillies tonight. Martin Perez will be on the mound for the Buccos. It will be Aaron Nola for the Phillies tonight, minus -175 for Philly and an 8.5 total.
I mean, it's a Phillies run line to me with Nola on the hill at 11-4. Martin Perez has been awful and injured and then come back from injury and still gets tattooed. I don't see him beating Nola tonight.
The Reds are in D.C. at Nationals Park against the Nats. Frankie Montas and Patrick Corbin get things going in this series. Minus -130 for the Reds, plus +110 for the Nats, and a big fat 9.5 for the total.
Well, that's because both of these guys get torched when they pitch. Corbin's a disaster this year. He's having, like, his worst year ever. He's 1-9 with a 5.5 ERA. A 1.54 whip. I mean, honestly, the only thing he's done is pitched a lot of innings. They throw him out there every 5 days. I like the over more than anything else, and I like the Reds.
The Tigers are in Toronto as they go north of the border. Jack Flaherty and the Basset Hound going tonight. Minus -135 for the Jays, plus +115 for the Tigers, and a 7.5.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad of a price on the Basset Hound and the Jays tonight in Toronto.
I'll squeeze one more in here, and then we'll do the rest after the break. The Rays are in the Bronx against the Yankees. Zach Eflin and Gerrit Cole. Yankees minus -175, plus +145 for Tampa, and a 7.5.
Yeah, you know, Gerrit Cole giving up tons of home runs, but I'm going to run line it at plus +122 with the Yankees to start the second half of the win. If Cole's going to win, he's going to win in the Bronx and against this team. I think Tampa's average.
I'll give you the rest of tonight's slate when we come back, and we'll have Taters in the lion's share after that. Tater time back. All-Star break back. Tater time is back as well.
Tater time, ladies.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High. The rest of the baseball, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we will finish off, or at least try to, most of tonight's games. The Mets are in Miami against the Marlins. Sean Manaea and Edward Cabrera tonight. The Mets minus -130, plus +110 for the Fish, and an 8.5.
I mean, this Cabrera guy tops the cake. Like, he's got an ERA around 8.5. Manaea's been great for the Mets, in not so many words, right? 6-3 with a 3.4 ERA. I like them on the run line. I bet him on the run line this morning at plus +122, and I like the over 8. I think the Mets will score 8 by themselves against this Cabrera.
The Padres are in Cleveland against the Guardians. Matt Waldron and Tanner Beebe going tonight. Minus -165 for Cleveland, plus +140 for San Diego, and a 7.5.
I love that price on the Padres and Waldron at plus +140 to upset them tonight in Cleveland.
Cardinals and the Braves in Atlanta. Sonny Gray and Spencer Schwellenbach going tonight. Minus -120 for Atlanta, even money for the Redbirds, and a 7.5 as well.
Sonny Gray's last three starts before the break were atrocious, and I think he turns it around tonight in Atlanta. I'm going to get him at even money and take the Cardinals to knock off the Braves, who, you know, they've had all kinds of problems.
A lot of light totals here tonight coming back from the break. Seen a lot of 7.5s here so far. Here's another one. Orioles are in Texas against the Rangers. Corbin Burns and Nasty Nate Eovaldi the pitching matchup tonight. So Burns, of course, started the All-Star game in Arlington on Tuesday. Now we'll start again in Arlington tonight, Scotty. How about that? Minus 120 for the Orioles, even money for the Rangers, and a 7.5.
Nobody's betting the under. I am. I like both of these guys. Burns and Nasty Nate are both low. I think it's going to be hard to score runs on either one of them. And I like, believe it or not, Texas at even money to beat Burns at Globe. I like the Rangers. They're like four games under 500. They're trying to turn the corner. They came close. Remember, they swept the series, then took two or three. So they've actually been playing better, like Arizona did, the teams that were in the World Series last year. I think Arizona's been playing a little better. I'll take the Rangers tonight at home.
White Sox are in Kansas City against the Royals. Chris Flexen and Michael Waka Waka Waka, minus 235, the heavy lumber for KC. Plus 195 for Chicago, 8.5.
Yeah, look, I like the Royals here, but the price is ridiculous. So I got to run line it, and I still got to get juicy at minus 120, but I like the over in the game.
San Francisco in Colorado against the Rockies. Kyle Harrison and our pal Cal Quantrill, minus 145 for the Giants, plus 120. For the Rockies, and a 10.5.
I'm going to take the Rockies at home. I don't think Harrison's any better than our guy Cal. I think it's, this is one of those games for me that the Rockies, you bet against them and you get burned. I mean, they're at home. They win a game once a week. Here it is.
Angels and the A's at the dump in Oakland. The A's are going to start with J.P. Sears and Roebuck tonight. The Angels are still trying to figure it out, as they are still listed as undecided. -120 for the A's, even money for the Angels, and an 8.5.
How about Sears and Roebuck and the A's on the run line at plus 170 and the over 8?
Yeah, one thing the A's do, Scotty, is they mash. They're actually top five in baseball in home runs. It helps that they hit like 20 of them against the Phillies last Sunday before the All-Star break. But they are way high on that home
run. Eight home runs.
They had eight home runs. Kip Butler had three of them. A couple other guys had two. They smashed the Phillies in that one. I've got two left for you. You know what? I will tag these two along when we do the homers in the lion's share, Scotty, because I want to give proper for this, because I think Red Sox and Dodgers is a very fun weekend series that they're going to have out there at Chavez Ravine. So we'll come back. We've got the lion's share. We'll do the two games, and then we'll do the taters for tonight. It's good to have taters back, Scotty, especially on a Friday going into the weekend. We love that.
Well, what's great about taters on the lion's share is that Carver High hits tons of them for large stacks and bands of money with massive
odds. I've missed it the last 4 days. I've missed it. I'm glad to have it back. Let's go.
We make all our money in tater time, son.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And how about their first bet 1500 promotion? If you're not on this, there's something wrong with you. Honestly, there's something literally wrong with you. How do you do it? Four easy steps. One, download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android or go to BetMGM.com. Two, sign up, deposit at least 10 in your new account. Three, place your first wager and receive up to 1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. You heard me. And four, if the bet loses, your bonus bets are going to be made available to you once your initial wager is settled. You heard me. So you could bet 1,500, let's say, hypothetically, on the Phillies tonight to beat the Pirates with Aaron Nola. And if you lose the bet, once the game's over and it's settled, they're going to give you 1,500 in bonus bets money right into your account. It's as though it never happened. It's like Houdini stuff. It's like magic. It really is, Carver High. Time for the Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM. And, of course, before we hit all of your taters with sea salt, We have to get the last two big games on the board tonight in first.
Yes, we will have Taters here in the Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM. But first, let me give you these two games. Dodgers will open post-All-Star break with the Red Sox in town. Nick Pivetta and Gavin Stone tonight. Minus 125 for the Dodgers, plus 105 for the Red Sox, and an 8.5.
I mean, how about these apples? I'm going Boston on the road at the Ravine against Stone. Stone's got great numbers. Dodgers have nothing but piled injuries, one on top of the other. And the Red Sox have been the hottest team in baseball over the last 30 days. That's all there is to it. If anyone can beat them there, you know, we already seen Arizona do it, then it would be from the East, it'd be the Red Sox because of the way they're playing. I'll take them, Pivetta on the road.
And finally, Houston is in Seattle tonight, of course, where we will get Hunter Brown going for the Astros. Luis Castillo goes for the M's. Right now, -115 for Seattle, -105 Astros, 7.5 total. So the Astros, Scotty, who have gotten this to one game here, open this second half in Seattle against the team they're chasing. Very big series.
They'll catch him tonight. Brown will beat Castillo, and I like the over. Give me the Astros at even money in the over 7.
There you go. That is tonight's action in Major League Baseball. But we are not done with baseball, Scotty, because we got to get the Taters in. I mean, this has been just bothering me all week, not having these baseball games for the Lion's Share and being able to go to the window. Now, we did do a Tuesday for the home run for the All-Star game, and we cashed with Ohtani. So we did have something this week. Let's start tonight, though, with one of the guys who was in the home run derby on Monday night. Didn't have a very good home run derby, and that is Pete Alonso for the Mets in Miami against the Fish. Why Pete tonight? Hey, he's 3-for-13 off of Cabrera, Scotty, in his career. Would you want to take a guess on what all three of those hits are? How about
home runs?
Three for 13 with three home runs off of Cabrera in his career, and it's plus 440 tonight. Let's start with the Polar Bear, Scotty, to get things cooking.
I mean, I'm not afraid to go there at all. The way this guy has raked for the Mets and against Cabrera, I told you Cabrera's giving up long balls tonight. It won't be the only one. Lindor, Nimmo. I mean, throw them all in there. There's going to be long balls flying out of there.
Next, we'll go to the Bronx. Yankees and the Rays tonight, opening up the series. Ben Rice, little Rice-a-roni here. He was getting hot going into the All-Star break with some big home runs, including on Sunday against the Orioles. Eflin gives up a lot of home runs. Plus 440 for Rice tonight, Scotty. Now, if you want to go with one of the more named brands for the Yankees, Soto is 14-for-30 with two homers off of Eflin in his career, but I'll go with the big number, 440 with Rice.
I like Rice, Soto, and Judge. All of them I'd take a stab at tonight in the Bronx. They have to take advantage of starting their second half on River Ave, and they got to start swinging for the fences.
They do have to start doing that indeed. Next, we will go to Arlington for the Rangers and the Orioles. Now, I usually don't like to go up against Corbin Burns, Scotty, although he has given up a lot of homers this year. He's given up 13 homers. But when guys have good numbers off of them, why not? Let's take a shot. Corey Seager, 4-for-7 with a homer in his career off of Corbin Burns. And you're getting Seager over four bills, which I always love, plus 430. Let's go long here for Seager tonight.
I like that. Burns has got the twins. He raced home from the All-Star game to deal with screaming
too
babies.
Much travel.
He never sleeps. He's going to get torched tonight. Give me Seager. Let's go.
Let's go. I forgot about that aspect of it, too. Guys had slept with the new twins in the last few days. Slept. Let's go. Light them up, Corey. Next, you mentioned
me
that speaking of guys who love to get lit up, Patrick Corbin does that on the frequent. For the Nationals, he's allowed 15 home runs already this year. We've got the Reds coming into town. I am going to go with Spencer Steer. I know we have a lot of guys on the Reds, Scotty, who are hot. Hines was smoking hot last week. I want to wait and see. I don't know if the break might have cooled him off. You're going to have Ellie hitting from the right side where he doesn't have as much power. I know that Steer's got power from the right side, plus four bills.
I like Steer, and I still like Hines. I never get off a guy that's that hot.
Next, I'm going after another pitcher. This is more a pitcher play for me. Flexen going for the White Sox tonight in Kansas City against the Royals. And look who it is, our old friend, Vinny P. Vinny Pasquantino tonight at plus 560 from the left side against Flexen. Let's go, Vinny P. You want to go Salvi or Bobby Witt as well, Scotty? I got no problems with that. I'll take the bigger number with Vinny P.
Yeah, I like all three of them. And the last time Carver High put up your boy Vinny P., most people had never heard of him until he cashed for about seven bills for us.
Yep. Vinny P. had a nice hit for us a few weeks back. This is the first time I think we've thrown him back into the fray since then. And finally, I had to do something in that Dodger-Red Sox series that's going to start to open tonight, late night. And when I saw Nick Pivetta was on the mound, that really, Scotty, was all the word that I needed. Just before we even get to how good Ohtani is, Pivetta has given up 13 homers in 75 innings this year. Ohtani is 4-for-9 with two homers in his career off of Pivetta. And Jesus, you're giving me over two bills, plus 220. Ohtani tonight, Scotty, to stay hot after the homer in the All-Star game.
Yeah, and I'll take Devers and Duran. Duran just won the MVP of the All-Star game with a big two-run homer. Why not start the second half with a shot at Dodger Stadium for cash for Uncle Futrelli?
Why not? We could take a couple of Red Sox guys as well late night if we would like to do that as well. So there you go. Tater time for tonight on the Lion's Share. Pete Alonso, Ben Rice, Corey Seager, Spencer Steer, Vinny Pasquantino, and Shohei Ohtani. I am so happy that we have the Taters back. And you know what else I'll be doing tonight, Scotty? Put it with the golf. Because now, going into the weekend at the Open Championship, yes, we're sitting on some nice tickets with the Irish Bear. Ooh. But there's a couple guys I see just outside of some placements that I want to try to add here. In fact, did you know our second favorite Irish golfer also made the cut? Paddy Harrington made the cut. And Paddy is only, listen, he's only a couple shots out of 20th. I love rooting for Harrington. You know that. So I might have to try to add him at some point tonight.
Listen, here's some advice for the people. What do you mean? Here's the deal. If you just ride Carver High's Taters and golf tickets, you don't have to listen to your wife anymore, because you're going to have all kinds of side hustle cash in your pocket.
That's what
Remember,
you need.
Hide the money from your wife. Carver High's Taters, Carver High's golf tickets. Just hide the money from your wife. Don't tell her that you're playing all this action. Tell her how beautiful she is. Take her out to dinner. Meanwhile, the whole time at dinner, you got like 12 bets going.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. How about that? Heading into the weekend with the Open Championship, we now know who's going to be there and who is not. Usually with me on Golf Wednesdays is our man Keith Stewart from Read the Line, and I love that we get a little quality extra time with Keith this week because of the Open Championship, as he joins me now to take a look into the weekend. Keith, great to see you, as always, here on Coast to Coast. I have so many things to try to get with you here in these next couple of segments. Let's start here, because me and you were just talking about this. The cut ended up getting to plus six out here. That's how much the carnage was with this afternoon wave. And it just boggles my mind. Like, and I know these are technical things we're talking about. Why do they not stay with the cut? Like, they cut the coverage off at 4 o'clock East, and there was so many things on the line there. And I know that all they really concern themselves with is who's in the lead and who's, you know, their biggest names. But there was drama to be had there, Keith. Just like yesterday when Brown made that putt to see everybody rip up their Shane Lowry first-round leader tickets. They stuck around for that drama, but they didn't stick around for the cut sweat.
Hey, Carver, the cut sweat was so live about an hour ago, and Peacock shuts down at 4 p.m., and there were still four guys on the golf course that could have affected the cut line, moved it from six 2-5. And there is all sorts of drama going on. Tommy Morrison had a 4-foot birdie putt on the last hole, and he misses it. And, you know, we had Darren Fikart that needed the birdie coming down the stretch. Masahiro Kawamura. I mean, there were so many people that played DFS and that bet on people that were like, Sung Jae Im was +6. He could have been eliminated. Max Homa makes a 35-footer on the last hole. He gets to +6 to make it in. Maybe he's not in. I mean, there was so much drama. I was on a 3-hour live stream on YouTube just covering it because there was no coverage. It was unbelievable. I mean, what a great cut sweat for a major championship. And boy, I tell you what, talk about carnage. This AM-PM wave had 13 of the top 20 golfers in the official world golf ranking, and they got decimated.
They got absolutely smashed, Keith. Me and Pharrell actually went through it before. I mean, when you think about the weekend that you're going to have here, I want to do this really fast. Keegan Bradley, Will Zalatoris, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludwig Hebert, Bryson DeChambeau, Victor Hovland,
gone.
Tony Finau, Rory McIlroy, Cam Smith. I mean, you can go on. Can you believe what went on here? And me and you talk about weather every week on Wednesday.
Yep.
But, you know, sometimes you just don't really know until you get out there how bad it's going to be for one end of the draw or the other. The only time I can remember, Keith, it being this bad in terms of a draw AM, PM was, I guess, the Players when Cam Smith won a couple years ago, right? That was a real bad AM,
that was
PM
a bad
draw.
One.
But did you think it was going to be this bad for the AM-PM splits?
Well, we talked about the wind on Wednesday. You remember that. I brought up the wind, and you were like, well, what's the big deal? I'm like, these guys, they go in, they play 9 holes on Tuesday. They played 9 holes on Wednesday. None of them played with this new wind. They all used the prevailing wind because that's the way it was blowing on Tuesday and Wednesday until Wednesday afternoon when it flipped, and then we were on Golf Wednesday. It threw all these guys for a loop, and it was worse for this AM-PM wave, Rory's wave. I mean, you could see what it did to McIlroy. He became a mental midget out there. I mean, he couldn't do anything. Like, he completely, you could see how much it shocked these guys. You know, and as a result, I mean, could you imagine a world where Ludwig, Rory, Hatton, and Fleetwood all don't make the cut? Tony Finau was sitting even par. He shot 10 over today. Right? It was unbelievable. I mean, how about the guts on Robert McIntyre making a couple triples in his first few holes? How about the 45 on the front nine by JT, and he still fought to make the cut? I mean, there was so much great golf drama this afternoon if you're into this stuff. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And now look at this leaderboard inside the top 19. Let's just name them, right? You've got Xander. You've got Scheffler. You've got Cantlay. Oh, how about DJ? You want Brooks? And you want big, bad John Rahm. The Spaniard is fully live for the weekend.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And you talk about the guys who had to fight through the bad conditions in that AM-PM wave. You mentioned Bobby Mack, who looked like he basically just wanted to go get a pint after that third or fourth hole. I mean, he was done. He wanted nothing to do with it anymore, but he fought his way back. Neiman, after that eighth hole, where what, he shoot a 9? Keith, do you have a 9 on that par 3 or an 8? I think it was an 8. He had a +5 on the par 3 and then ends up with 4 birdies on the back to get himself back to where he's sitting right now. Rahm was very gutsy, although I don't understand, Keith. Why did Rahm hit iron on the par 5 16th? Why didn't he just try to blast it over that thing? That was surprising to me.
Again, it goes back to my earlier point and my point from Wednesday. They have no idea how to deal with that new wind. They had not practiced it. And the only guy that was there was Lowry because he hadn't seen the golf course in a long time since Troon in 16. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to get over there a month ago. And guess what? When he showed up a month ago, which way was the wind blowing? South, southeast. Yeah. The same wind that they were getting, the same wind they're going to get tomorrow. And I know we got to talk about the weather for tomorrow. Guess what? It's going to lay down. And then all of a sudden, these guys are going to start going deep. Because you can tell the guys at the top of the board, they are playing very, very well. The wind that we expect tomorrow is in the single digits out of the same direction, but it's going to really not affect these guys. We might get a little bit of rain for the leaders later in the afternoon, like that 2 to 4 p.m. range. It might get a little bit nasty as far as wet weather goes, but the wind is not going to be nearly as bad. And I think you're going to see a lot of low scoring. Pay attention to the early people. I bet that they can go low and put some pressure on these guys.
I'm with you, Keith. I was going to say that to you. I think we have to start looking at some guys. Now, I don't know if to win outright is in the cards for any of these guys plus one or further back at this point. But when you talk about jumping in live placements, T5s, T10s, T20s for some other guys, I think you're right. There could be some very low rounds early in the morning. And when we come back, we will look at these two rounds here Saturday and Sunday. The Irish Bear has himself a lead, and I know he's got a two-shot lead on Brown, and he's got a two-shot lead on Justin Rose. You know who I'm concerned about, Keith, as a ticket holder for the Irish Bear. He's sitting five shots back, and he wasn't part of the bad wave, and he kind of just parred his way and nicely just moved his way through, and that's Scottie Scheffler. So when we come back, I want to hear, do you think Scheffler is going to make his move up the board potentially on Saturday and give the Bear a little bit of a problem? Pharrell Coast to Coast here with you on a Friday. A bonus visit from Keith Stewart from Read the Line this week. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Friday. Carver High here with you. We, of course, have the Open Championship heading into the weekend. The cut has been made, and Keith Stewart from Read the Line is with us to talk about it. All right, Keith, only 10 players are under par as we head into the weekend. The Irish Bear is 7 under. He's got a two-shot lead on Brown and Justin Rose, which I cannot believe Justin Rose has played this well. Billy Ho, the Dean Burmeister, Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, Jason Day, Xander, and Cantlay. What is your number in terms of down the board of where you think people are still alive to win this tournament outright?
You know, people always ask me that question, Carver, and I look at it in a different way. As a player and as a PGA coach, you know, I look at it more like, what do I think the winning score is going to be? And I think the winning score is going to be around 11 or 12. So if that's the case, who on that scoreboard, whatever their score is, can get to that number? Can Rahm at plus one shoot 12 under for the weekend? Can he do that? Well, I think he can on that golf course if the wind lays down. Or is it more like, is it Scheffler sitting there, what, at 2 under, who's 5 back, but he could definitely shoot 10 under for the weekend, and then he could surpass Sugar Shane. So I tend to look at it more that way. What's the target score, and where do I need to get to in order to where I think that I'll be in a playoff or I might win outright?
Who do you think can get there then?
Oh, I definitely think Scheffler can get there. And I think that one of the two boys, right, the two pals, Xander or Cantlay, are going to continue to put together a very, very, very good weekend. So I think that those two, they're both under par. Rahm has looked great. I'm very interested to see where Rahm takes this from here, but I think he's just a little bit too far back. So I'm not sure that he can shoot 12 or 13 under for the weekend between those 36 holes. But I do think that Cantlay, the way that he struck the ball today and the way that he putted and, you know, playing in all of that weather, I think that there's a chance. I think that when you're looking at guys like Daniel Brown and Justin Rose, they had to qualify to be there, right? Billy Ho, the last time he was this deep in a major was like the 2013 U.S. Open at Marion. So, like, these guys are going to start to fall away. And as they do, and these thoroughbreds keep pushing forward, like Xander and Patrick, maybe even Colin. But remember, Colin, to get to that number, to get to 10, he's got to be 11 under for the weekend. I think that's going to be a stretch for even someone at his talent level. So I'm still going to go with the two guys on the buddy trip, which is Xander and Cantlay, and I definitely like Scottie's chances. At this point, he struck the ball good enough to do it, and he just hasn't putted that great. And if he just continues on the pace that he's on, Shane will have to continue to putt over his ceiling, and I'm not sure that that can happen.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up next with you, obviously, the Irish Bear. You know, we've had some situations this year where he has played well going into Sunday with a chance to win. Some final groups he's been in, some leads going into Sunday. Of course, he's won the Open Championship before at Royal Portrush. Do you think, I heard you just say about the putting, we're not sure. What are we saying here, 50%, 40%? Do you give the Irish Bear to get this done on Sunday despite some really good competition trailing him?
I would say 40%. In my mind, okay. I think 40 is a fair number because his ball striking is there. And it's actually the equivalent of where Scheffler's at right now. We know he's the best ball striker in the world. So I think that the two of them can keep up with what I think that Sugar Shane can keep up with Scheffler for the weekend from a ball striking perspective. I mean, look at what he went through on the 11th hole today. when he made the double and the 20-minute delay and everything. And he came right back. He played one of the toughest holes of the day, the 12th hole, back into the wind, and he made that par. And he even said it himself. He said, that was key for me. And then he finished very strong. He feels really good about his ball striking. He always questions his putting, and he's made a lot of feet of putts in the first 2 days. I wonder if he can maintain that level of closure with the flat stick.
If I have to give you one shot, you got about a minute left here. Are you taking – it sounds like to me, I think you're leaning Scotty. It kind of sounds that way. Are you saying Scotty gets his first claret jug? Give me one name you would take right now to win on Sunday.
Scotty Scheffler. It just reminds me of what he did at the Players. You know, all the question marks coming into the week, would you fade Scotty, would you not? And his last tournament, he won. He found a way to win at Travelers. And everyone was worried about the T41 at Pinehurst, but they forgot how he won at Travelers. This guy is still – he's won 6 out of 8 times. How could we go against him? Right now, the number's like plus 330. He started the week at plus 460. He went off at plus 550. And with 36 holes to go at plus 330, there actually might be some value there considering where he started the week.
He's 5 back. I could see him shave 3 or 4 off of that tomorrow, still be down Sunday, and then go right back. Keith Stewart, read the line. It's going to be open this weekend. We're back after this.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.